I mean, if I had great discipline like these, you know, other guys and things like that, man, that'd be awesome. I choose to look a different way than I do. But I promise you, I outwork every one of those good-looking guys. Man, they look so good. I promise you, I put them to sleep when it comes to work. I'll outwork all of them. And that's a fact, and that's everybody in the league. I don't care who they are. Unfortunately for me, the people that get the jobs are the good-looking guys and the, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, it's a tough thing. But I just – I've never been a believer in, well, what you see, that's – you know, what you see is what you get. I think – if people actually wanted to do a little research and hire the best man, I think they'd realize I'm a pretty good coach.
Welcome to Ballers with Babies. I'm Mark Willard. Today we know so much about what athletes and sports personalities do, but not so much about who they are, what makes them tick. What's life like the moment the stadiums and TV cameras go dark? Most go home to their families. We want to know what that after-hours experience is like. Ballers with Babies explores their upbringing, their home life, how it's affected by their high-profile job, and how that high-profile job is affected by the home life. On Ballers with Babies, we talk to some of the most interesting names in sports and find out how they're even more interesting than we realized. And don't worry, diehard fan, we'll get to the important sports questions as well. This is your favorite people like you've never heard them before. I hope you enjoy. All right, let's get Rob Ryan in here on the Ballers with Babies podcast. You, of course, know him as a defensive genius and guru. I know him as the man who keeps Lunchables alive. How many times a week are we doing the Lunchables, Coach?
That's only with the show, and, you know, my wife doesn't know that.
Oh, okay, so we'll make sure that she doesn't listen to the podcast, but everybody else
Correct.
Can. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. Good deal. All right. So let's hear your wife, Kristen. You've got three kids, right? Two boys, one daughter. Give me the names and the ages of the kids.
I got Joseph, who's 21, Matthew, who's 20, and I have a daughter, Dee Dee, who is 18.
All right. So all up in the, my gosh, like actual adults, Coach.
Oh, yeah, and they are. And the crazy thing is one at Clemson's got a 3.5. The other two have straight A's. So
no way.
Pretty good.
You gave birth to a bunch of smart people. That's
well,
incredible.
Thank God. Yeah, Kristen. Yeah, I know. And, you know, my mother does have her doctorate degree from University of Chicago, so I don't know. Something happened.
Tell you what, you're doing something right. You know, you're an easy guy to get along with. I know that, but I imagine for a family structure, this whole thing for the last 20 years has at times been tough, right? Constant job change, and you know, when you were with Belichick, I know this. You probably never went home, right?
Right, but I think it was. Actually, I think my hours actually got longer as my career got, you know, as I kept going, more responsibility and all that. So, you know, it's long hours. There's no question. But for me, it was nothing. I mean, that's just the way, you know, status quo. I mean, I'm a coach's kid myself. So, you know, I was, you know, used to that, not having my dad home. But for me as a father, you know, you just really aren't there until, you know, you got to make summer special. And that's where we always travel together and spend all our time together.
You had once said it takes a special woman to be with a coach. Well, why? Why do you say that?
Well, I think, you know, like they always say, there's coaches' wives, there's ex-wives and great wives. And you know, I mean, because they have to basically be both parents. You know, my wife is fantastic. She's been the mother and father to, you know, three great kids that are awesome young adults. They're respectful to people. They're just great people. And, you know, be honest with you, as a father, you don't really, as a coach, you don't have a whole lot, you know, to do with their success. That's for sure.
I mean, you probably spend more time in some ways fathering players on the team, or at least taking that role with players on the team than maybe you did with your own family at times. Is that fair?
No, that is fair. I mean, that's the truth. I tell you, the best thing we did is, when I was growing up with my father, Buddy, obviously, was, you know, each summer we spent, me and my brother Rex, we would go work on his farm for a month. But every single day being with, you know, with him on the farm, it was awesome, really got to know him. I haven't been able to really do that with my family, but we vacation, so we're with each other 24/7 on, you know, we go to Hawaii, we'll go to Turks and Caicos or something like that, in Florida or whatever it is. But we always have a great time, and that's where you can really get caught up and get to know your family, because, you know, during the season, you never see them. And then, you know, in the off season, like I like to say, it's like working for a bank. You know, you're 9 to 5, and then you actually get to see them on the weekends. But definitely not the normal time you need to raise great kids.
Yeah, well, and I can tell just by being around you and seeing the way that you talk about your family, interact with them, that you've done it differently than many in your position. I know a lot of guys in your position where, as you said, you know, whether the wife leaves them or the kids end up resenting them, you guys seem to really dig hanging out with each other.
Oh yeah, no, my kids are great. I mean, they it's funny too. I mean, I've got a son that's a model, that's a real individual. He been all over the world, you know, and then I got a son that was a football player, and then my daughter's tougher and all, you know, than all of them. So it's been awesome though. I mean, it's, you know, it's something I definitely, you know, I only have a couple of likes. My hobbies are football, you know, and family, and that's really all I got. I mean, that's all I want to have, and it's all that's important to me.
You know, I also wonder this about your story. I mean, your dad was famous for being, you know, at least in a football sense, and probably in more than just a football sense would be my guess, he's famous for being a badass, you know? Now, I mean, did he have a soft side, though? What kind of dad was he?
Oh, he was the ultimate dad. He was fantastic. He'd be sitting there. He'd be the only guy in the stands on the road baseball games. I mean, it was, you know, he was awesome. He was a great dad. He's a loving guy. You know, he'd pat you on the back. He occasionally give you a kick in the tail when you needed it. But he was awesome. And you know, I was fortunate enough to coach with him. Clear nepotism, no question. Ever out of the league. Well, you know, he brought a couple great coaches in. But, you know, it was definitely nepotism. But then I got to see, you know, the man, you know, and worked training camps and did all that. But you really get to see the man that he is as a coach, you know, when you're coaching with him. And it was, it was eye-opening. Like, I'm not half that tough. I know that. And, you know, I think I'm a fairly tough guy, but I'm not half that tough.
Well, so what was it that you saw there that says, it, you know, you say it was eye-opening?
Well, you got to be, you know, there's only one Buddy Ryan, and believe me, everybody that played for him knows it. And he was a genuine article, but nobody could rip you like he could. I mean, it's not even close. And, cause I've been on a lot of staffs on a lot of teams, but there's only one Buddy Ryan, but he genuinely loved his players. But, you know, shoot, half of them never knew it. You know, they could feel it maybe, but it was amazing. And, you know, shoot, I worked for Al Davis, the ultimate tough guy there, and I worked for Belichick, and I, you know, worked with these guys, but they never stung like my dad did, that's for sure.
Do I have this right that there was a period of time when you were younger that you spent maybe a few years away from him, not living with him, right? And how did that how did that affect you?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I was with my mother, who, like I say, had a doctorate, you know, degree from University of Chicago. She's a good mother, but she was definitely overwhelmed by her twin sons. Our older brother's a lawyer. He actually was pretty decent with her, but me and Rex gave her a few headaches, I think. But so we needed, you know, my father, and then we moved in with him. I remember making a statement: "You kids are begging for discipline," and we're like, "No, we don't really need it," but we did.
How did
we definitely needed it.
How did life change for you when he passed away? Which, you know, I mean, it's just a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, just a year ago, and it was it's tough because no matter what, like I'll take my case, and you know, when I worked for New Orleans, coached the greatest turnaround in the history of football my first year out there, and you know, they had me, you know, leading parades out there at the Mardi Gras. And then the next year, you know, we stunk up. We got rid of all our great players and we stunk up the place. And when everybody's blaming you for everything, he's the only one going, oh, you know, that damn Breeze threw an interception. He always took the other side. He was always, you know, he always had, you know, someone there supporting you that you could always count on. And, you know, you miss that. You miss talking football with him every week, you know, after the game. You miss, you know, talking about the game plan, you know, hey, we're going to do this, and it's all okay, you know, but, you know, and you miss that because he loved it. I mean, he lived for Sundays, you know, and it's, you know, it's something that, you know, we were blessed to have him. We were blessed to coach with him, blessed to work with him, and you miss it.
You've said that you really thrive on the emotional side of defense. You know, as a coach and as a game planner, you believe in emotion. Is that just in football, or do you think that that's true in life and in all you do in life?
Well, I think, you know, I think most people don't like emotion. Most people want to, hey, take the emotion out of it. You know, the game's not played on paper. The game's played, in my opinion, with men. It's played, you know, it's a kid's game, but you're still coaching, you know, people. And I think, you know, that's why I like the emotion of it. I love when a player makes a play, I'm happier for him than he is, you know, because you pour everything you got into it and the players mean so much to you and keeps you excited. It's you know, it's something I've been around my whole life, and I just absolutely love that part of the game. You know, and that part of the game is the players, which is the best part of the game.
Hey, what are your kids into? And here's why I ask. You know, your family's life to this point, you and your brother, it almost seems so predestined, right? Your buddy Ryan has twin boys, both of your coaches, both on the defensive side of the ball. You have a son that's into football. Is he going to be a coach? What are they into?
Well, I know he's a finance major, and you know, he's a super smart kid. He's a lineman, but I think he wants to, you know, either be in finance, he's told me, or you know, possibly coach. But you know how that is. You know, once he gets a chance to coach and he's around those players all the time, I think his decision will be, well, he wants to coach. But but we'll see. I'm not going to force him into anything, but I'm not going to force him out of it either. My other son wants to write movies and things like that. And you know, he used to, you know, model all over the place, but he's more focused on, you know, doing well in school and doing other things, you know, outside of sports. And then, my daughter has all the talent in the world. She's into art. And then she also, you know, she can play the piano without reading a note. She can play guitar. I mean, she's so talented. It's unbelievable. So it's weird how all of them are different, but all of them are great people. All of them are respectful people, and all of them, you know, are going to be awesome parents one day.
How did she fit into all this, by the way? I got to, you know, with football and the two older brothers, I mean, a lot of machismo and testosterone going around, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so, though, because I think, you know, and the way that family's set up in my house, it's Kristen, she's in charge. Then it's probably the kids, and I'm probably right around last there with the family pets. But you know, but Demi's, you know, Demi's tough. She's great, you know, and she went, you know, she's had to go through more than all of them because she's had to move more. You know, we haven't been real stable. Had some bad years in coaching. And the one thing is, as a coach, you can easily overcome that. You know, it's as a family, when you're moving all the time, you can see it hurt your kids. And that's what hurts. That's the, that's a part of the profession that's so terrible.
Continuing with Rob Ryan on the Ballers with Babies podcast. Coach, can we talk for a second about hair?
Sure.
You told me that you think at times your look has kept you from jobs before at different points of your career. But you've also stated at times that, you know, you're not going to cut it, at least not for a job. Is it kind of a principal thing for you? And you know, why is that so important to you?
Well, I think, you know, I think right now, Mark, I'd cut it.
So the principal is now, we found its breaking point.
I better provide for the family. I'm going to have to reconsider that. But, you know, the big thing is, I think, you know, looks, you know, I understand you're a coach and you're supposed to look a certain way and things like that. I mean, look, I've had 2 weight loss surgeries and both of them obviously haven't worked. I mean, if I had great discipline like these, you know, other guys and things like that, man, that'd be awesome. I choose to look a different way than I do. But I promise you, I outwork every one of those good-looking guys. Man, they look so good. I promise you, I put them to sleep when it comes to work. I'll outwork all of them. And that's a fact, and that's everybody in the league. I don't care who they are. Unfortunately for me, the people that get the jobs are the good-looking guys and the, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, it's a tough thing. But I've never been a believer in, well, what you see, that's, you know, what you see is what you get. I think if people actually wanted to do a little research and hire the best man, I think they'd realize I'm a pretty good coach.
No doubt about it. You know, I wonder, speaking of your look, I wonder how many people don't even know that you and Rex are twins, and certainly not identical twins, but you know, you and your brother, it certainly seems to me, are really, really close. Is that a personality thing or is it a twin thing?
No, I think we're definitely really close. And you know, the thing is, you know, back when we were in high school and in college, we looked so much alike, it's hard to figure out who's who. And, you know, and I always believed in the thing, you know, if there's a state that can mess up if you're identical or not, it'd be Oklahoma, and that's where we were born. So I don't know if we're identical or not, but, you know, I think we, you know, remember Rex was he was 340 pounds when he had the lap band, and his work, like he was in there getting it rotated, getting it fixed every week with the doctors in New York. And he had a ton of success with that. So that's probably why we don't look as much alike, but you know, deep down, I think I've always been the best looking twin.
By the way, when you guys coached together in Buffalo, and I know you've coached together at other times in your career as well, how is that different than the other jobs when he's not there by your side?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, look, we wanted to do something special. We knew Dad was going to pass away, and we wanted to be there so he could watch one team and just go all in. And it didn't work out. We never had the commitment, be honest with you, that it needed to unseat the Patriots. You know, but we were going to give it everything we had and try to get that team where it needed to go. But, you know, it didn't work, but it wasn't for lack of effort. Believe me, we gave everything we had, at least I did, to that organization. They kicked you out the door. That's, you got to go.
Rob, what has been in your life your toughest parenting moment?
Toughest parenting thing. I tell you what, I know one that was, I used to play baseball, and you know, I'm a huge baseball fan, big Padre fan, you know, but my son was playing baseball and I want him to hit, you know, so I'm teaching him to hit. Like, oh man, I know I can get my kid to hit. And I mean, he would not hit the ball for anything. And I'm like, yeah, this is terrible. And I kept telling him, kept taking him out there. And my friend Don Martindale, who's the linebacker coach for the Ravens, is like, look, I see what his problem is. And he used to coach baseball in high school. I see what his problem is. Okay, well, what is it? Well, it's you. You need to get away. What? Yeah, you need to step away. I'll take him. After that, he turned him into the only kid to hit home runs over the fence in his league. and won every batting. Like, he was the best hitter and all that. I'm like, dang. So, you know, that was tough because I love baseball. My passion, I love baseball, but that was tough when you can't coach your own kid properly. But that was a hard lesson for me in baseball.
Your kids are now late teens, early 20s. They're actual adults with real life issues. I've got three as well, although I've got them at, you know, 11 and under. And so I'm wondering which part of parenting is tougher, you know, when they're young and exhausting or older with actual real life issues?
I think for me, you know, of course, I wasn't there like you're there around your young ones because they can be exhausting. But for me, I think definitely the bigger, you know, the older they get, the more, you know, the more things you have to do, you know, as a parent, because, you know, they actually have an opinion. You have to deal with them. You can't just be the dictator like you can be when they're really young. But, you know, I think that would definitely be, you know, the big things in their lives happen, you know, probably around that high school age where you had to deal with some different deals.
By the way, is one of your boys on scholarship?
No, oh, he walked on at Clemson, and he had been offered a couple scholarships, but he decided to walk on at Clemson and won a national championship as a freshman. So it was pretty awesome.
I was going to ask because I know you've got two at that age already. You know, what does college actually cost now? Like, man to man here.
Oh, so boy.
It's
about 60 grand
per year.
Per kid. Oh yeah. That's tough. I got one in London and I got one in Clemson, and that's a rough thing. And then when you got a house that doesn't sell in New Orleans, woo, makes it rough.
Oh,
and you don't have a job.
Oh, boy. Well, at least you got faith, right? By the way.
Hey, you got to have that.
You got to have that. You're
if you
almost,
don't have that, you'd really be lost.
No,
yeah.
You're almost an empty nester, though, now at this point. Or are you already an empty nester?
No. Yeah, my daughter will be a senior next year.
Okay.
So at Point Loma. And, yeah, so then it'll be crazy. It'll just be me and Kristen. Woo! She is tough.
So you're looking forward to this, or maybe not?
I'm looking forward to working. No, I know. I love my wife. She's the best thing about us, the greatest thing that ever happened to me, for sure.
Continuing with Rob Ryan on the Ballers with Babies podcast, let's wrap up and stick to sports here with a few things. You know, the Patriots lose the Super Bowl. In my mind, their legacy is already cemented. But in your opinion, in what way is it different since they did not end up winning Super Bowl 52?
Yeah, that was shocking. I thought everything was going great. It's just you got to tip your hat to Doug Peterson and his staff, and obviously the Eagle players. The gutsy calls that he used during the game and the, you know, things. And we had talked about it plenty of times on our, you know, when we're doing the radio going, why isn't this team going for it? Remember those conversations?
Yes.
Like, you can't beat the Patriots playing conservative. You have to try to get points when you can get them. And this team absolutely proved it. The blueprint on how you could beat a great team like New England. You know, it just made for a great Super Bowl, but I think obviously getting there 8 times, I mean, it's just unbelievable how successful they've been under Bill Belichick.
Finish this sentence for me. The best defensive coach you've ever known is?
Buddy Ryan.
So not Belichick?
No.
What did you, by the way, I'd imagine if I have my timeline right, Belichick was already doing some things in the league while your dad was still coaching. Is that true?
Yeah. No, yeah, he was an excellent defensive coordinator for the Giants, you know, when my dad was coaching all those years. And you know, actually when he was with Chicago, when they shut him out in the playoff game, Belichick was the defensive coordinator for the Giants, you know, in that playoff game. But he's a fantastic coach. Totally different styles. I mean, when I first got to New England, it was all cover two and it was zone. Everything foreign to what I had coached previously, you know, under my father. But you know, not too many people have Buddy Ryan and Bill Belichick on their resume, you know, and you're a defensive coach. Pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What, by the way, what did your dad think of Belichick?
He loved him. He thought he was great. In fact, you know, when I got hired, I was the only coach he really never knew when he hired. It was after a six-hour interview, you know, that he ended up deciding to hire me, and it worked out. It worked out for me, obviously. I learned so much football, you know, on especially situational football. I think, you know, as a head coach, Bill Belichick's the best I've ever been around. It's not close. And he paints a picture like no other on the blueprint on how you're going to win a game. He only cares about that week. He doesn't look behind him. It's amazing how successful he was. And it's amazing to be part of that. You know, when you're out there, you know, you don't see that. I've been on a lot of staffs, but you don't see, you know, just how great he is until you coach under him. Then you realize, oh, man, it's an entirely different game being played out there on Sundays than people are used to.
If you could change one thing about the game, what would it be?
Oh, man, I tell you, it's such a great game. I think, you know, going back to, you know, the catch rule and really of jamming receivers. We used to jam them all the way down the field, you know, and it made a difference. But, you know, I think that. I think, you know, let's you know, the rules are there to help you. But I think I understand protecting the players. Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's been proven, you know, they need the protection. But, you know, I would think that you know, that catch rule has got to change. And, you know, I think, you know, consistently looking for ways maybe to, you know, not reverse every call that's made. I mean, that just, you know, I mean, if it's not the way it used to be was, you know, hey, the guy makes a decision on the field to call a penalty, then it has to be unbelievably, you know, different for them to reverse it. I think it needs to go back to that.
All right. Is it true in your mind that defense wins championships?
Yeah, I think so. Defense, and I think more importantly, I think physicality wins championships. And you can be physical on offense just like you can on defense.
Okay. I mean, there were just 74 points in a Super Bowl, but you still think that? I mean, because I have always thought that that's not the.
Yeah, but I think you know, when you're playing one front, one coverage, I think you're going to get that, and I think you know, you got to do more than that to slow down these offenses today. I really believe that.
Hey, Coach, great stuff. I really appreciate you doing it.
All right, I enjoyed it, Mark. You take care, my friend.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, buddy.